Everyone, thank you for tuning into the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. It's January 2018, and you're listening to episode 56 of the Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Vocab Malone. Vocab was born and raised on the south side of Columbus, Ohio, and he holds a master's degree from Phoenix Seminary and is a doctoral student at Talbot School of Theology. His ministry focus is urban apologetics and cultural worldview analysis. Vocab has done a number of debates and dialogues with Muslims, atheists, and Black Hebrew Israelites. In the current issue of the Christian Research Journal of the volume 40, number 6, Vocab has written a feature article called Spirituality in Modern Hip Hop, The Theology of Kendrick Lamar and Chance the Rapper. Vocab, it's good to have you on.
Hey, great to talk to you, Melanie. I'm very glad to be on the show today.
Well, are there experiences in your background which equipped you to write this piece on some of the current rappers in the hip hop scene?
I am a retired, local, regional, semi-professional Christian hip hop artist. So that's one thing. And the other thing is, part of my testimony, really, Melanie, is that when I was younger, I thought I was going to become the rap battle champion of my school and then eventually of my city. I had delusions of grandeur in relationship to that. Nonetheless, hip hop culture and all the aspects surrounding it dominated my life, my heart, my mind, until there was a time when I was reading Ecclesiastes and realized the emptiness of that dream and that vision. It really drove me to Christ in a much stronger way than I really had previously kind of, well, given lip service to. So that's part of it. And I've been sort of a unofficial Christian hip hop historian throughout the years as well. So some of those come into play and in how I approach the article.
Now, I'd like you to explain why you think it's important for Christians to know about hip hop in general, and in particular, these particular artists, Kendrick Lamar and Chance. I know a lot of Christians don't understand hip hop. They don't know why they should even bother knowing about it, let alone listening to it. And I know a lot of Christian parents feel very concerned about their children listening to hip hop. So why don't you tell us a little bit about the significance of hip hop, why we should care, and about these two artists in particular?
Well, listening to it, of course, is one thing. At the end of this article, I give some recommendations for some amazing, and when I say amazing, I mean theologically, lyrically, spiritually, sonically, creatively, in every area that you can think, as far as the check marks of a good artist, I give a little list of some Christian hip hop artists who are amazing, top quality, not knockoffs, not ripoffs of something the world is doing, but legitimate Christian hip hop artists. At the end of the article, I give several there. So that's what I would encourage people to listen to if they have an interest in hip hop as far as the music goes. Now, as far as the culture, there is a danger when a person is sort of a fan of elements of the culture, such as myself, to elevate its importance too far. I don't want to do that. Nonetheless, if Christians are to have some awareness of the society around us, some awareness of global trends, some awareness of pop culture, not to idolize it, but to interact, intersect, dissect, perhaps, and even sometimes appropriate, and I mean that in the best sense, the way I believe Paul did in Acts 17, those things for God's glory, then there needs to be some basic awareness, and especially when we talk about the title of the article, which is Spirituality in Modern Hip Hop.
Well, I'd have to say these two particular artists are quite hip. I remember last year around this time in February, there were the Grammys and Chance the Rapper performed, and I just was pretty amazed. He particularly did a very Christian track at that time, and he interwove it with some just contemporary praise music, and it was just really rousing and inspiring. And so that's the first time he really came onto my radar, because I know he started out not in a mainstream way in terms of getting a contract, but he had just uploaded his stuff to SoundCloud or something like that. I don't know his full story. So I hadn't really heard about him before, but why don't you tell us about both of these guys? And then Kendrick, he just seems to be everywhere these days. I mean, he's very highly regarded. And I do want listeners to know that the title of his most recent album is called Damn. And so we are going to have to say that word just in referring to his particular album as in this conversation, but I don't think we're going to refer to specific lyrics on the album. And I will warn people, if they even try to Google it or look it up, it's extremely explicit. So just be warned there. But tell us a little bit, first of all, about Kendrick Lamar.
Sure. Kendrick is considered sort of the thinking millennials rapper. And so if somebody is listening to this and again saying, could there really be anything of depth or merit to discuss when someone's going to talk about modern hip hop? The answer, frankly, for the most part, is a flat out no. So I believe we're discussing exceptions or anomalies. However, they are part of a small trend within modern hip hop. Kendrick Lamar is able to walk this very interesting thin line where he is considered an artist with great creative integrity and yet have commercial success, speak on things that are considered off limits sometimes and approach them sometimes with the spiritual mind. Now, that's not to say he always does that. There's a great contradiction in his lyrics. And I mentioned that in the article. You know, we as Christians ultimately are to take no part, the Bible says in Ephesians 5:11, in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. So I'm not trying to gloss over that, just like you said. So that is a fact, this great duality within Kendrick's lyrical content, where The Atlantic, which is a secular magazine of some note, actually said that his album, which you already referred to, has a target of, quote, inescapable human sin. And another media source says that Kendrick references Christianity an average of 74 times per full-length album. Now, in the 90s, hip-hop, secular hip-hop specifically, was decidedly anti-Christian. You had a spirituality that was Afrocentric and very anti-Christian, heavily, heavily influenced by Nation of Islam type beliefs. That's the sect that Louis Farrakhan heads up, and specifically a group within that called the Five Percenters, who are pretty militant at times. Well, things have changed, a little bit more freedom, although largely secular hip-hop is nihilistic and hedonistic. Kendrick does stand out as an exception who is willing to tackle some deeper topics and seems to be overall sort of a better kind of guy than a lot of the hip-hop artists. I mean, it seems to be someone who highly regards his family, whereas you have people like Eminem who talk embarrassingly about their mother, you know, things like that. So that's a quick rundown of Kendrick. I can answer more questions about him if you'd like, but let me quickly introduce people to Chance. Chance the Rapper's from Chicago, and as you mentioned, when he performed in the Grammys in 2017, he actually performed Chris Tomlin's How Great, and a lot of us would know that song, How Great Is Our God, right? He basically, in a secular mind, took people, quote, to church. Actually, that was actually a secular commentary, said he took it to church. Now, we wouldn't agree with that, having proper ecclesiology, but understand that's the effect that he would have by doing what looks like praise and worship music, in a sense, in a grand stage, specifically the Grammys. And so another source, a secular source, called his album a gospel rap masterpiece. Now, I'm not agreeing with these, because the gospel, it has content, it has specific content, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians 15 is a good start. The content of the gospel is not there. Now, if they mean gospel in a broader category of influence by what we might consider a traditional, historical, soulful black church sound, certainly that is true at points, but sonically, gospel influence is differently than theologically gospel influence. Nonetheless, Chance calls himself a Christian rapper. Quote, when I was going out and I'm not going to read too much from the article. Actually, let me just leave that to say some of these, there's some really good telling quotes in the article. I'm not going to give too much away because I want people to really get this. But nonetheless, he basically describes himself as a Christian rapper. Now, I'm not agreeing, I don't think. Nonetheless, that's the way he approaches things. And there's also a great dichotomy in his music where he'll say things that are of a very explicit nature, degrading the women, things you consider misogynistic, things along those lines. He's not huge on the sort of the violent type of rap. Neither is Kendrick for the most part. Kendrick might be considered a little more towards that way, but that's not really Chance's approach. Nonetheless, it's clearly sexually explicit material. And that's a fact that you hear if you listen to Chance long enough. And so that's kind of a quick introduction to these folks. Both are anomalies, yet nonetheless, they are interesting because they're becoming very, very popular. Chance is hanging out with both these men have made inroads in a certain extent in politics. What I mean is been recognized by, say, you know, the president or a mayor of the city for work that they've done in various ways within the community, especially Chance in Chicago. He seems to have a genuine heart and compassion for the school. You know, he's attended school city council meetings and things like that. But nonetheless, this is not Christian content, but it has a heavy dose of clearly explicitly Christian looking like content at various points. And herein lies, again, I'm going to use this word frequently, dichotomy.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. Today's guest is Vocab Malone, who has written a feature article in the volume 40, number 6 issue of the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Spirituality in Modern Hip Hop, The Theology of Kendrick Lamar and Chance the Rapper. To read more cultural apologetics articles like this one, including upcoming features on the award-winning TV show, The Handmaid's Tale, and the worldview of actor Morgan Freeman, please subscribe to the journal. For the month of January 2018, we have a special subscription rate of $25, and normally a subscription is $39.50. To subscribe, please go to equip.org. Well, you were just introducing us a little bit to Kendrick Lamar and Chance the Rapper, and now I'd like to talk to you specifically about their spirituality and their theology that we find in their lyrics on their albums. So how much can listeners discern about Kendrick's theology from his lyrics?
Well, Kendrick Lamar has had a lot of Christian light content historically. He sort of had those themes running throughout. And again, let me emphasize, I'm not saying that he's doing Christian rap. I'm saying that in a hip hop world where nobody's really touching these subjects by and large, he stands out as someone who does and seems to refer to the Bible with a degree of respect, for example, and will speak about experiences in church. In fact, on his debut album, which went platinum, called Good Kid, Mad City, it begins with what people would see as a sinner's prayer. You know, Lord God, I come to you a sinner, humbly repent for my sins. I believe that Jesus is Lord. The album actually begins and ends with a prayer that continues on like that. And then it'll have all kinds of contradictions in the songs in between. Nonetheless, that's been the case with Kendrick Lamar. However, with a new album, that hasn't necessarily went away, but he took a turn into a different type of spirituality, specifically something called Black Hebrew Israelism, or sometimes I'll call it Hebrew Israelism for short. And I'll give you a key line, just one key line. He says this: I'm not about a religion. I'm an Israelite. Don't call me black no more. What he's saying there, and you can get this from other parts in the album, such as a song called DNA, he is saying that he is part of the actual lost tribes now found, lost tribes of Israel. And he believes that black Americans comprise a large part of that, specifically the tribe of Judah. And this is not a new idea. People have been trying to find the lost tribes for a really long time. There was a belief that was popular and is still around called Anglo-Israelism or British Israelism. This is a different version with a lot of similar ideas as that. And he now gravitates towards that. And here's a key. This is the last thing I'll say. A key to this is quite explicit, where he has his cousin, his blood cousin, a man named Carl Duckworth, not rap, but give these long voicemail messages on a song called Fear. And on it, Carl breaks down standard Hebrew Israelism teaching about why black folks are in the condition they are in America. This is a theodicy for the landscape of things in Kendrick and Carl's mind and the Hebrew Israelite group that Carl is part of called IUIC, Israel United in Christ. They would teach that since black folks in America have not been keeping the, quote, laws, statutes, and commandments, they are cursed by God. That's actually where the title comes from of damn, saying they are damned by God for not keeping the law. And that's what Kendrick is basically saying is true. And a key place that they keep on referencing in the album is Deuteronomy 28. And I can answer any other questions if you have about that. But that shows you a change in his theology from prior albums to now.
I just want to mention to our listeners that this particular subject of Black Hebrew Israelites is a very popular topic, especially on our website. And we do have a free article up there by Jimmy Butts. And that article is called The Origin and Insufficiency of the Black Hebrew Israelite Movement. And you were just talking about his influence with this theology. Can you briefly describe for our listeners what this religious group is about in terms of their belief and why it's relevant?
Yes, there's different types and stripes of Hebrew Israelism within the United States and growing all over the world, actually. But Kendrick would be part of a sect that observers have labeled One West Hebrew Israelism. And the reason is because One West refers to an address in Harlem, New York, a school that began in 1969 called the Israelite School of Universal Practical Knowledge that began to propagate these ideas in further detail. There are several splits of the school along the way, and now people will still refer to the address to describe the ideological descendants of these ideas. IUIC, whom I mentioned before, is one of these camps that is an ideological descendant of One West. When I say camp, that's roughly equivalent to what we would understand to be a denomination. And the man who heads up the IUIC, who has actually spoken specifically about Kendrick Lamar, is a man named Nathaniel. He used to be an NYPD detective, believe it or not. They've grown to about 5,000 members. Last year, I think they tacked on about 1,000. And these Hebrew Israelites who are from New York are actually doing mission trips in Ghana to find lost Israelites who didn't make the the transatlantic slave trade with their brethren. And everything I'm saying is what they really believe. And regardless of if you think it's plausible or not, obviously I do not think it is plausible, it is a growing belief. And as you mentioned, the article that the Christian Research Journal did is a heavily read article, and I do encourage people to read that article. So he's influenced by those ideas, and here's the essence of it. Deuteronomy 28:68. That's the key verse. Let me read it from the ESV quickly. And the Lord will bring you back in ships to Egypt, a journey that I promised that you should never make again. And there you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. On the album, Kendrick specifically says, Deuteronomy says that we'd all be cursed. So this is specifically referenced in the album. Now, how do Hebrewites interpret this to see themselves as descendants of Israelites? And here's the last thing I'll do as way of explaining it so I don't go too long. They say this, back in ships to Egypt. Well, slave ships, that's what happened during the transatlantic slave trade. Folks were taken from the west coast of Africa on slave ships. And you may say, wait a minute, it says they're going to go back to Egypt. Well, the Hebrew Israelite interpreter will say, Egypt is a code word for house of bondage. And they'll actually turn to some passage where Egypt is called a house of bondage. And so they'll say it doesn't mean back to literal Egypt. It means back into a house of bondage. And what is our house of bondage? America, a journey that I promised that you should never make again. And there you shall offer yourselves for sale to your enemies as male and female slaves, but there will be no buyer. Now, the casual observer of this verse should see problems as someone trying to make an equivalency thesis that Deuteronomy 28:68 speaks of the transatlantic slave trade. Nonetheless, that is their key verse. Like if John 3:16 is kind of the evangelical, you know, verse to point to start a conversation, Deuteronomy 28:68 is Hebrew Israelism in a nutshell.
So what about Chance the Rapper? What about his theology and how is that expressed in the lyrics of his album?
He does not go as deep into theology as Kendrick. He has more of a lighthearted sound, and that's reflected in his lyrics. He'll say kind of playful things like, "When God, why does God's phone die every time that I call on him? If his son had a Twitter, I wonder if I would follow him." You know, that's kind of giving reference to theological concepts, but not really much depth. There's not going to be any voicemail Bible study cameos, I don't think, on Chance the Rapper's albums. Nonetheless, his sound sonically sounds much more, quote, churchy than Kendrick's does. Kendrick has an underground jazz-influenced kind of soulful 70s, you know, 60s soul sample type of sound. Chance the Rapper draws heavily on a black church sound at key points within his music. It's very musical, kind of upbeat, but he will say things like, "I'm a new man, I'm sanctified, I'm holy, I've been baptized, I've been born again even." But it all seems almost kind of in good fun. Like he went on the Jimmy Fallon show, did a show called Blessings, brought a gospel choir and robes and everything else. But if you actually listen to what he really says, it's kind of light and there's not a lot of depth or content. But clearly he's not like some rappers in the past have been anti-Christian. What I mean by that is specifically attacking Christian theology. That's what I mean by that. He doesn't attack Christian theology. He seems to respect it and sort of what you might consider the traditional black church experience, but it's more of almost like a vibe and a style and a sound that he brings as opposed to going much in depth with lyrics. And he really, really doesn't seem to see a problem with juxtaposing, even within the same song, things that really should not be brought together, such as a song called Sunday Candy, where he talks about his grandma in the chorus, and then all the verses turn communion and Sunday church service into a sexually explicit metaphor. It's rather shocking, but it's kind of par for the course for the way he does things, it seems. And this is kind of the world we live in. People don't see him as hypocritical. They see him as like a good guy who's kind of doing a good thing and makes people feel happy. People in general don't think, "Oh, Chance the Rapper, that's hypocritical. That's a contradiction." That's not the reaction he gets. He gets a different reaction, and some of it has to do with his off stage persona and what he does and stuff like that. And again, I'm not trying to say this in a judgmental light. I don't know where he is. I'm just looking at the lyrics objectively. Telling everybody that there's great, great contradictions there within Chance the Rapper's lyrics.
Well, given the beliefs of two of these particular rappers, Chance and Kendrick, could you point to any scriptures that relate to your particular thesis that there is spirituality in hip hop?
Well, you know, there's a couple things to consider. We are, as humans, made in the image of God. That's that Christian doctrine called the Imago Dei, and that just means Latin for image of God. We are made in God's image. Now, everyone has understood, except for folks like Mormons, that does not mean that God has hands and feet. Obviously, that there's a change to that when the Word is incarnated, but this doesn't mean that God is a physical being is the point. This means in other capacities, we look like, to use a phrase, God. Well, God's creative. Now, we're just creating within his universe. We're not creative in the way that he is, where he's doing creatio, creating out of nothing. I'm going to stop on the Latin terms, but where he creates out of nothing. Now, we're not doing that. Nonetheless, there's lots of ways we're like him. So there's an element in hip hop of the image of God that shows up even in places where you might not expect it. Meaning, I don't think you should have to dig through trash piles to find truth, but you can find truth there, and you can find the image of God show up in very human ways in some hip hop artists such as Kendrick and Chance. Now, within that, there's also a truth that I think of the Apostle Paul saw in Acts. And when he is speaking to the Stoic and Epicurean philosophers of his day, they said, we want to hear more. And so he goes to the Areopagus. And there at the Areopagus, what does Paul do? And he does this in other places in his letters, specifically to Titus. He actually quotes one or two of their poets, secular, pagan, Greek poets. He even actually quotes something that refers to Zeus, meaning he takes something that was like a praise poem to Zeus by Epimenides and then uses it to actually refer to the one true God. My point by that is Paul was familiar with some of these works and was able to utilize them in a way to witness to the culture. Now, we don't see Paul quoting Greek poets when he interacts with people at the synagogue. Maybe he did, but it's not recorded. Why not? Because he didn't, I don't think, there's some speculation here, need to dip into those other cultural resources because there was a more of a shared cultural resource between him and the Jews at the synagogue. But when he's with Greeks, he ends up quoting some of their poets, albeit to utilize them to point to the truth of the gospel and Christian theology, of course. But nonetheless, he's familiar and is able to utilize or even subvert, in a sense, what some of the Greek poets had written, even poets that originally poems to a pagan god. Now, I'm not saying we should have a bunch of secular lyrics memorized stuck in our head, but I'm making the point that a familiarity with culture, wisely used, can be a strong tool in evangelism to a culture that is starting more and more to not even really have any clue of what we're talking about when we open up our mouth. And when you talk about millennials, you're talking about a real lack of familiarity with the truth of Christianity in a way that previous generations have not seen. And I see it every day. I'm not a millennial, but I see it every day. Now, again, I'm not saying unless you understand Chance and Kendrick, you can't witness. Please don't miss. I am just saying when we look for elements of culture, we can tap into them if we're savvy. And that's all I'm asking people to do.
I agree with you. I think readers will have noticed that we have covered more cultural apologetics in the last couple of years. And that's because being familiar with some of these different art forms, whether it's films or music or hip hop or whatever it is, that it's good springboard to share the gospel with non-Christians who just have no reference point for Christianity. That's true. Well, your article is titled Spirituality in Modern Hip Hop. So is that good news that there's some spirituality, even if it's, you know, Black Hebrew Israelism? Or how should we view that, this spirituality, this thread of spirituality in modern hip hop?
Yeah, that's a tough question ultimately, because it seems better that there's some friendliness towards some Christian values and concepts and ideas than only straight up hatred or enmity in hip hop, which has been the case. That seems like a good thing. However, we have to be careful because it can be very deceptive. In fact, a lot of Christians before this last album by Kendrick were saying, oh, he's definitely a Christian and we know he's a Christian and look at these lyrics and he's more Christian than some of you who claim to be Christians. And I felt like there's some Christians who kind of jumped the gun, and I feel like there should be a little bit of a chastisement when we see, oh, well, looks like he's turning into Hebrew Israelism, really, at least as far as what he seems to believe is true. And that's a different ball game. So we do have to be aware of that. We don't want to kind of let celebrity or artistic creativity blind us to the reality of what's being said or not said within, you know, an artist, no matter how talented they are, or whatever. So I do mention that, but nonetheless, I think it's a good thing if we can say, okay, what does this mean? And we start to kind of think about ways to tap into that. For example, I think it's a great entry point. Like, let's say I'm going to do some cult awareness and I'm going to explain Hebrew Israelism to people. I can actually begin with Kendrick Lamar. What I mean is, let's say someone doesn't know much about it. I can actually say, well, have you heard of Kendrick Lamar? And if they're under a certain age, they've heard of Kendrick Lamar. Now, some of your listeners may say, well, I never heard of him. if someone's under a certain age, they have heard of Kendrick Lamar, even if they're not even a hip hop fan. That's the level of big that he is. And then I can tap into some of those things to explain Hebrew Israelism. So I don't think it's good that he's tapping into Hebrew Israelism, but I'm saying I can utilize something to say, here's an example of this theology and explain it as an educational tool. Things like that, I think it's helpful to be aware of and utilize. So I guess it's a question mark, Melanie, meaning it's good news if we start to actually see some real gospel-centered rappers come out. Now, there's been a few, you know, who have kind of really explicitly brought the gospel to the larger hip-hop landscape. But if there was a doorway to that, that would be a good thing. There needs to be more light shown there, no doubt. But we have to be aware of the confusion. And really, even just on a personal level, well, these are folks that I would like to see their church pray for. Now, I say that because it's clear there's a struggle there. It's clear they have a struggle with sin. It's clear they're dealing with gospel themes of wrath and forgiveness and grace and guilt and shame. And you can see it quite readily in their lyrics. And there's a vulnerability that you don't see in a lot of hip-hop artists. So I encourage people to pray for those men where they at in their walk. I'd love to see them embrace the true gospel and do real gospel rap one day.
So finally, what would you hope that Christian readers would get out of your article?
Well, I hope that what it does is creates a general awareness of some of the trends of an aspect of culture. So they don't, like, I knew who Kendrick was and Chance was, but had I listened to a lot of them? No, I had not, because secular hip hop's not really a steady part of my diet. It's Christian hip hop. But for the article, I said, let me really analyze what these guys are saying. And so I don't really want everyone to have to do that. So I hope that can, me doing that can be a service to other people to say, okay, here's where these guys are. And I think that in and of itself, I hope, is something that's helpful so people can have an awareness without necessarily needing to listen to all this. And then say, okay, here's something that could turn into something positive. I don't know where this guy or that guy is going to go. And that's a good thing. But I hope people just realize that sometimes you can find elements of the truth in unexpected places. And again, I'm not endorsing anything. I'm just saying that I think when we really look with open eyes, we can see things that maybe we wouldn't have thought if we've automatically shut it down and think it's impossible. And I think, again, what that does is it's not that we need to know the culture so they can think we're cool. That's not what this is about. This is about understanding the culture to hear what they're saying right now. And as we hear and understand where they're at, the heartbeat, which often, of course, is mixed messages, we can respond with a contextual gospel response. I don't mean a gospel with no teeth or no sharp edges. I just mean something that they can understand because we're presenting it in a way, because we understand where they're at. We understand the questions they're asking, and we try to answer those questions, because the Kendrick Lamar questions that he asks in his albums are all ultimately only answered in the gospel. But we should have open ears so we can hear the questions first that the culture is asking, so we can properly give them an understanding of the good news about Jesus Christ.
Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid-fire questions for Vocab. So, Vocab, sausage or bacon?
Turkey bacon. Turkey sausage.
Well, which one if you had to pick?
I'll go with turkey bacon.
Okay, taxes or jury duty?
Oh, I'd definitely pick jury duty.
And what's your favorite hip-hop artist?
Right now, I'm really into a group called Beautiful Eulogy. They do some amazing, amazing stuff. They're a Christian hip-hop group out of Portland. I'll go with Beautiful Eulogy.
Wow, I've never heard about them, so that's kind of interesting. I'll go check it out. And what are some songs or some music on your current playlist?
I have been listening to, I'm going to totally destroy my street credibility right here, doo-wop. I've been listening to a lot of old Frankie Valli lately and groups like that. So that's actually my playlist. I don't know how that happened. I think it's because I'm part Italian, some kind of weird nostalgia thing going on. I don't know, but I've been listening to a lot of doo-wop lately.
Wow. Well, I would have to say one of the songs that really made me think This Pasture was done by a rapper and Alicia Cara, and it was about people who are contemplating suicide. And that was a pop music song, but that kind of made an impact on me this year, or last year, I want to say, in 2017. Well, thanks, Vocab, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
You are very welcome, and thank you so much for letting me be involved writing for the Christian Research Journal. Honestly, it's like a dream come true. I've been reading the magazine for a long time. I love the updates. I love the graphic images. I love the topics touched on. I love the clarity of the magazine. It's a dream come true, and I'm very glad to be part of it. And I really do hope people not only pick up this issue, but I really do hope people subscribe. Just go ahead. It's an easy thing to do. Subscribe to the CRJ.
Well, thanks for that endorsement. We appreciate it. Today's guest is Vocab Malone, who has written a feature article in Volume 40, Number 6 of the Christian Research Journal, and it's called Spirituality in Modern Hip-Hop, The Theology of Kendrick Lamar and Chance the Rapper. To read more cultural apologetics articles, including upcoming features on the award-winning TV show The Handmaid's Tale and the worldview of actor Morgan Freeman, please subscribe to the journal for the month of January 2018. We have a special subscription rate of $25. And normally a 6-issue subscription is $39.50. So to subscribe, please go online to equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media. Like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. Follow the Bible Answer Man on Instagram, and please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes and rate and review our podcast. And please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast, hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. Hank is also streaming live each week on Facebook and YouTube, so check equip.org for dates and times. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged, Hank's new audio podcast, where you'll follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.